morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 27th, 212th day of the new year. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the second, Estelle Fennell. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Well, it's not a quote, it's a proverb this morning.
Oh, it's okay.
A French proverb. Quote, "The best company must part at last, as the king said to his dogs."
I have an image right now in my mind of those big regal dogs and the king and all that.
Oh, boy. So what's been keeping you busy here the last little bit? I know Fortuna had their events last week and the preceding week.
Yes.
I didn't hear that you won the rodeo belt. So I figure that, you know, it was another rough year.
And Auto Expo and everything else. I mean, Fortuna is just amazing at this time of year. You know, there's always something to do, and the community is so involved, and it's something I really like about it.
Obviously, your stomping grounds are Garberville more than Fortuna. Is there a chance for Garberville to do, you know, they got Redwood Run that Kiwanis puts together,
right.
But something that is more than just a once-a-year event to kind of either jumpstart the economy or normalize the citizenry, or maybe even both. I mean, let's shoot the moon here.
Yeah. Well, I think you're going to see some fairly significant changes in the southern Humboldt area in the upcoming years, you know, with the normalization of the marijuana regulation, et cetera, et cetera. Let's face it, you know, that was a very big part of that. And I think that what you're going to see is people willing to step up and work together. I know that we've got a pretty vibrant Chamber of Commerce now. Sometimes it was snoozy. Now they're very vibrant. I know that the Benbow Inn, John Porter, is doing incredible work for the Humboldt Lodging Alliance and has, you know, put a lot of personal equity into the future of Southern Humboldt. We've got a lot of real gems down there. The Shelter Cove, I was out there this weekend, and it's just absolutely gorgeous.
Angels in the Black Sand? Is that what you guys were doing? Sand angel just
well,
kind of sounds
what?
A little
it's
weird.
Amazing.
Doesn't it?
It's amazing to be out there in gorgeous, gorgeous weather and see how few people there are actually. The one thing I notice is a lot of hikers. A lot of people are using the Lost Coast Hike, and they're actually going to have to reduce the numbers of hikers there.
Why?
Because people want a wilderness experience, and so they don't want there to be 5 million people camping in the same area. So they
want
it to be.
That goes under the heading of tough noogies for me. I mean, you know, people want to go
yeah,
there.
Find another place.
They're willing
exactly.
to spend money.
Yeah.
It's.
Well, they're still going to do it. They'll just have to spread it out, I guess, is the BLM's vision.
Yeah. No. Well, then you throw in BLM on top of it. Boy, do I just feel warm and fuzzy.
Yeah. Well, now, I to give them their due, the BLM in the King Range have been absolutely wonderful in working with the community. They put in some bike trails. I mean, it is a hopping place.
Right, to engage people.
Yes.
So
and
now
the
people are engaging, now we want to keep them out.
Well, no. Little... I think you can still, I guess what they're doing is they're trying to make sure that there are camping spots for people who are doing the Lost Coast Trail.
Yeah. KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:90.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, some of the different challenges, I think, well, it's interesting as we talk about some of the different aspects that are out there with the economic development. Mm-hmm. And I know you guys are trying to anticipate the electorate, which is always kind of tricky.
Yes.
In the fall. With the permits and this is and the that's, and now we've had our furry water warning, so mm-hmm. that's into effect. And I guess Colorado now has had some issues with nitrogen in the water also, and they're telling people not to drink. You know, so some of the stuff we've experienced now is in Colorado also. It was an interesting program a couple weeks ago, at least for me it was, when John Dalby was in, and John had said with the permits now that the county is forcing people to take, mm-hmm. those that are wanting to be out in front that are also legal business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Legal as in the federal definition of legal, not as California.
Yeah.
So we avoid that whole circular argument.
Right.
That, okay, so for example, let's say Pabstein takes out a permit.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as I do, that pops banking regulations. Because it's not a blending. You can't do a blending or mm-hmm. siloing. It's if a dollar is coming illegal, mm-hmm. they cannot accept banking from me. Period. End of story. Taking a permit out
wow.
now has noticed that I'm doing a little something on the side. Ding. Game, set, match. It's over.
Yeah.
So as these permits are being taken out and some of these challenges being done, has the county properly vetted this entire process? I mean, I know what the goal is.
Right.
You know, I think everybody understands the goal. But along the way, it seems like there's some other goofiness that either hasn't been thought through or it's state versus Fed again.
It's state versus Fed. The banking issue is a very, very, very important part of this whole thing. And as you may or may not recall, I've been to Sacramento a couple of times to the Board of Equalization.
Sorry, I don't look at your personal calendar that
yeah,
close.
Yeah, well, no, we talked about it in the past. You just don't remember. But but we did. Fiona Ma is a real proponent of trying to normalize this. And in fact, we had representatives of the Community Credit Union in Southern Humboldt speak out there, and they say that it is too onerous for them to take cannabis cash. They want the feds to deal with this because, bottom line, if you take in any cannabis-related cash into a bank, it's got to be vetted. I mean, all cash has to be vetted.
Well, if you're federally insured...
Yeah, you can't.
You are now risking
right.
it, period.
Exactly. Yeah. Federally insured, if you want to do wire transfers, any of that, none of that counts. So what the BOE has been doing up until now is they were actually taking cash payments in Sacramento. People could make arrangements to go to Sacramento and give them cash, and they stepped up on that level at a state level.
So let's follow that through. I've got my truckload of cash. I pull up,
mm-hmm.
walk it in.
Yep.
Give it to them, then what do they then act as a financial institution?
I guess something along those lines, because then they have extra guards that day, and then they take that cash and they put it in the bank.
So
I don't know how it works.
It's got to be a state bank that then doesn't have federal insurance.
Must be. I'm not exactly sure how they do it. All I know is
now,
they
I
do
wonder,
it.
I wonder if you could use the draws, the checks off of that to pay a bill outside of the state. I wonder.
Probably have to stay in the state. Yeah. I don't know. She's the one, they're the ones that are
taking.
Boy,
would that be a rough ride going down, huh? Sweating every stop, worrying about. Yeah. Kind of like the old stagecoach.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No kidding. Talk about the Wild West.
Yeah.
But anyway, really, seriously, the banking issue is a huge issue. The federal government has, both of the candidates actually have addressed it to some degree or another, possibly rescheduling, which would change things in the banking world. But still, right now, that's the way it is. So it is a very difficult situation. And you pointed out something that hadn't occurred. If somebody's got another business aside from this, and they pull out a permit, what happens with all of that of their accounts? Do they have? I don't know. But the one thing that we do know is that the state has passed this law, and so we're passed. We've all of our regulations are pursuant and to the state law. Now, you know, it is going back to the small bank that has to handle this. The representatives of the community credit union said when somebody brings in cash, and that's the problem, is that it's all cash, and it has to be touched like five times before it actually is deposited, you know, and that doesn't matter what number, how much cash it is.
Yeah, a bill.
Yeah, right. And so, currency, you know, yeah. So if you're talking about thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands, then you're into a really, really troubling spot.
Yeah, so it just...
And you have to hire more people to handle that. And that was their thing. It was like, well, why do we have to do all the vetting? It's your concern. It's a federal concern.
My understanding was now if it's that, they are looking to the financial institutions to backtrack where did that money come from,
mm-hmm,
as part of this legally illegal thing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, how far back... No, I mean, it's really in this sticky situation that hasn't been figured out yet, and mm-hmm, the county's going in one direction, presuming,
mm-hmm,
instead of really seeing what's going on, and, mm-hmm, you know, was it the law of unintended consequences?
Well, you know, we are taking a bold step, you know, the state is taking a bold step, and the county is taking a bold step, and we have to figure it out.
Look out for the bold mud puddle.
Oh, I know about those too.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35, Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Estelle, before the show, you said that you've had a couple meetings in the district, so to speak. Nothing about budgets. Hooray, hooray. But about kind of what we've been talking about, the permitting and how many permits and how much is it going to cost and who, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. You had mentioned that Bridgeville, and I think for most of us, Bridgeville is that funny, goofy place that gets the exposure once a year about where all the flying saucer weirdness happens.
Mm-hmm.
And you go there and you see with the post office and the bridge and the cemetery and the school, and you wonder, where's Bryceland? or where's Bridgeville? How do you get from one to the other? Why is Bridgeville even here? Where's that? You know, I mean, there's really not a lot there. But when you have your meetings, whether it's in Bryceland or in Bridgeville, you get attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Folks coming in,
yep.
To speak. So what was the concern that folks had, or what was the message that you were trying to share for these two meetings?
Okay, so Bryceland was the first one, and it just kind of happened. I got a number of calls from local residents who were concerned about the impact of all of these people driving up and down Highway 36. Some illegal marijuana grows out in their area, wanting to know what exactly are the regulations and what can they do about it in their neighborhood. So I said, well, you know, let's have a meeting at my office in Fortuna, and then it turned out that there were more than a few who were interested in talking with me. And I said, well, if you can get 25 people, we can maybe have a community meeting. And she goes, yeah, I think I can get 25 people. We got out there, and there were 120. We had the sheriff, we had North Coast Region Water Quality Control Board, we had Fish and Wildlife, and we had the planning department and myself. And 120 people, most of whom had something to say. We had a list of questions. Some of the concerns were about people drawing down the water table. What kind of regulations will ensure that won't happen? Some of them were about people driving like crazy on Highway 36. Increased traffic with soil trucks, etc., etc., increased agricultural activity. And the reason Bridgeville is in this position is there actually quite a bit of flat land out there, and there's the
so you don't need the D8 cash.
There's the the Larrabee Valley,
yeah.
And so there are some areas that have actually become quite well known for marijuana cultivation, and then there's a lot more of that happening as the quote-unquote green rush it takes hold. Now, this
and
green...
That is a real...
It's a real thing. What's interesting about it is that there's so many agencies that somebody who wants to put a legitimate business together has to interface with, that somebody can tell you, oh yeah, I'm in the process, when they may not have come into the county at all. They may have been talking with the state about their water supplies or their water rights or something like that. So what we're trying to get across is that you got to do all of it. You can't just do one little bit and think you're good to go. You have to have a permit from the county, and or be in the process at least. And we've actually had quite a few locations that have had stop work orders put on them because people jumped the gun. You know, they said, well, I went in and I gave my name and now I'm good to go. Well, no,
these are still medicinal grows.
There's still a thing like such as somebody growing for themselves, and maybe even, you know.
Nobody could see your big sigh on that one.
But for somebody who really, you know, literally what we're saying is right now, it is now legal in the state of California to grow marijuana for profit. It didn't used to be. You could grow, but, you know, over these last decades, the state has come up with some very... I think very gray type legislation that allowed people to create collectives and collaboratives and whatever, and really it was all done with a wink and a nod, is to be honest about it. So now that's all changed. If you want to, you know, go out there and make money doing this, you can, but you've got to do it through all these regulations. And I think there's an interface here between what the concerns were in Bridgeville and what the concerns were in Bryceland is, well, there's a whole bunch of people going out there and doing this, but they're not doing it through the county. They're just taking a chance over the next couple of years. They can make some money. And then there are others who are genuinely trying to do the right thing. And you got to reward those and take care of the other ones.
Have you seen the proposition yet? Or
Alma? No, I haven't.
Read through it yet to see what it says?
The upcoming
recreational. Yeah, I think it's 64.
Yeah.
I think it's the proposition. Just to see if that's going to clarify if it's going to confuse this muddy picture that is.
I think that what's going to happen with the recreational use, ALMA they call it, if that passes, is that it will normalize it just that little bit more. From the county's perspective, that question did come up in Bryceland just last week. From the county's perspective, it's not going to be a huge difference because what we're doing is we're regulating land use. So whether you're growing medicinal or recreational, you're still going to be impacting the land, and that's what you're going to be getting permits for. The agricultural commissioner, same deal, basically. There will be some differences differences in terms of what you've got to do in order to prove that this is medicine. You've got testing and CBD and THC and all those things that we hear so much about. So there'll be different requirements for medicinal as opposed to recreational. But from our perspective, it's very similar. And in fact, I will tell you that I believe the reason the state moved forward with the medical marijuana regulations at such a fast clip, which is very unusual for them, was because they anticipated the recreational coming up and they wanted some kind of regulation in place that would be more robust than what we've seen.
So, you mean it wasn't the sales tax monies that were driving the
Oh, everybody thinks that, but you know what?
This is the state of California.
Yeah, but there will be revenue for sure, but yeah, I don't know. I really think that there was that is the case that's being made by a lot of people, and a lot of people will probably make quite a bit of money.
Well, what I'm still befuddled by, I guess, is because the feds are not accepting their responsibility in this. And I really see that as the core issue, whether it's the DOJ and the enforcement side or just interstate transportation.
Yep.
I mean, you know, if legal in Oregon, legal in California, illegal in that 1/32nd of an inch when you cross from one state to the next.
You know, exactly,
I mean, it just
Brian.
It seems goofy.
It's very, very difficult. I mean, I do think that as the federal government sees all of these other states, you know, Alaska, Colorado, Washington, California.
Well, the West Coast will have it.
Yeah, but you know, the bottom line is, as long as there are these other states that don't legalize it or the feds don't recognize it, then people can say, oh, I can just survive in the black market, because they'll just try and take it out of state and sell it there. In the meantime, any sold in California will have to be grown legally with a permit, et cetera, et cetera. So hopefully over time, all of that will normalize. I think that we've understood at this point that the war on marijuana, at least, just doesn't seem to be working.
But we have permits. That's okay.
Well, you know, honestly,
permitted war. That's all right. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back a couple of last minutes with Estelle. The rail study that's coming out, has the county decided to throw money and invest in finding out if this really is possible, if the easements are possible, if the right-of-way is possible for rail, for passenger service, for water, for fiber optics, for anything else that might be in there?
Well, you know, Brian, as I said when we were discussing the CDI issue, I think that this is a great piece of news that this study can go forward. It's pretty exciting. I certainly would support the county chipping in to that study. And I know that it was discussed a little bit when we were talking about CDI, and I think you're going to see us bring something back fairly soon on that. I know that the Harbor District has said that they'll chip in a little bit to the matching funds, which I believe is $69,000. They're not there. They're saying they're $10,000 towards that $69,000. So I support the county giving something in that too.
When you guys do a budget, do you set aside monies for this kind of thing to pop up during the year, where you just go, okay, out of the support budget or whatever it is, boom?
Not really. I mean, there's only one. Contingency is the one. And then does it rise to the level of contingency or not? Or can we find something here or there? Or do we need to wait until the middle of the budget year, you know, those kind of things. But I'd like to at least bring the conversation up, because we do support it. I do, for sure. And I think we need to show that support.
Thank you very much for showing support.
And for coming by, too.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We've been talking shop this morning. You didn't know where I was headed. With Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Excellent. I'll see you then.